this morning we have a different type of message, if I could put it that way. But before we do get into that, let's go back and set everything up again. As we have learned, Paul has commanded and urged Timothy to remain in Ephesus. He has to set the church back in order. It has fallen apart, if you will. So he's been commanded by Paul to teach or to tell the some, we don't know who they are exactly, that they teach no other doctrine except the doctrine of Christ Jesus our Lord. But they were teaching myths or fables and genealogies. He also commanded Timothy, he says, I want you to do the very most important thing, reinstate prayer as a priority in the church. And he commanded also, he said, let the women learn. Give them their rightful place. Let them know and understand the Word of God. And then he also did something else last time. He reestablished, or he was commanded to reestablish godly leadership there at Ephesus because leadership had failed, had fallen apart. They weren't correcting the false teachers that were there in the congregation that were spreading all of these false truths. Now, it's very important this morning as we move into chapter 4 that we remind ourselves of something. Remember that Ephesus, during the time of Paul and Timothy, a city, you know, over a quarter of a million people, paved streets. It was a beautiful area. Remember that Ephesus was, if you could put it this way, not only the stronghold of Satan, but one of the capitals of Satan in the world. The reason I say that, it was filled with wizards and magic and myths and the occult, if you will. And so as we study this out, remember that the temple of Artemis or Diana was there, one of the seven wonders of the world. And remember that city, they loved Diana, they worshiped her. And you remember how she exalted women and the strength of a woman and even the superiority of a woman over a man. That's where we've already learned all that. And not only that, we need to know something. We know that Diana was not real. Amen? Yes. They built her a temple, one of the seven wonders of the world. She wasn't there. Are y'all with me? They worshiped her. They sacrificed to her. And as they worshiped her, did she say, oh, that's lovely. I love, thank you. She couldn't hear it because she's not real. Okay. There are no gods, but one God. There is only one gospel and one Savior. Amen. And there is only one way to be saved. His name is Jesus Christ the Lord. And every other religion in the world, I mean, well, it doesn't matter. What is behind? What is the force or the power behind it? It's not God, because they don't worship the true God, the only true God. So we know that behind all false teaching and all things that are not all the cults of the world, we know that Satan is behind that. Amen? So when Paul the Apostle, when he wrote to, say, the Corinthians, he told them about the worship of Aphrodite and how they would sacrifice foods to her and so forth. Paul told the church at Corinth, he said this about the worship of Aphrodite, or we could say even now, the worship of Diana. He said this in 1 Corinthians 10:20. He says, rather, the things that the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not unto God. And I don't want you to have fellowship, koinonia, intimacy with demons. What a word. This morning, we're going to talk about deceiving spirits. This may be one of the most important messages that I preach out of 1 Timothy. You know, when the Lord told me, spoke to my heart and, you know, impressed me not to go into Revelation, but to stay into Timothy, I really understand now, because it's perfect for the times that we're living in this very moment. So he says here in chapter 4, verse 1, now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. This morning we're going to talk about deceiving spirits, okay? when we look at this word, there's a contrast. The word now takes us back to verse 16 in chapter 3, if you will, about the mystery of godliness, which brings us to now the mystery, if you will, we could call it, of the great apostasy, the falling away, the departure from the faith. And I want you to notice that it says that the Holy Spirit says expressly or explicitly, only here in the New Testament is it used, which means there's absolutely no doubt, no reason to, no confusion here. The Holy Spirit knows, amen? So he's speaking. Did you know the Holy Spirit is not just a doctrine? Did you know that the Holy Spirit is a person? And the Holy Spirit still speaks today as he spoke then? If you go through the book of Acts, you can go to, what is it? I don't know, Romans, no, I'm sorry, Acts, Romans. Acts, I think it's 8, 9. And remember when Philip was there and he was preaching and so forth, and he went and the angel of the Lord said, get out into the desert. And he didn't know why, because great revival was breaking out. And then the Holy Spirit spoke unto Philip and said, go and overtake the chariot. Remember that part? The Holy Spirit said. You can find the Holy Spirit speaking to Peter, for example, in I think it's Acts 10:19. Or you can go to Acts chapter 13, verse 2, when the Holy Spirit spoke and said this, separate unto me Barnabas and Paul for the work of the ministry that I've called them to. The Holy Spirit is a person. And he spoke to the Apostle Paul, and Paul wrote it down. And the Holy Spirit still speaks to us today, those who are born from above. Amen? Through the Word of God, but also when we don't know the will. This is the will of God, but what about the unknown will of God? See, the Spirit leads us. He guides us into all truth. Amen? So the Spirit expressly says that latter times, that word is only used here in the New Testament, some will depart from the faith. Now listen very carefully. It's important in our study this morning that we do not confuse this verse here, verse 1, with the falling away that's found that we've already studied in 2 Thessalonians 2:3. Remember, that speaks of the falling away, a specific falling away. That doesn't occur until after the rapture of the church, okay? That apostasy. Now, that's the final apostasy. So when we look at latter times, listen very carefully. Latter times is speaking of the day we're living in now and the day that Paul and Timothy lived in as well. It is what happens. It's from the apostolic age until really the return of Jesus Christ. And in this thing called time, okay, this linear graph here, there's going to be major, horrible pockets of deception from the devil. Does that make sense? And I'll tell you, they're deceiving spirits, they're doctrines of demons, and they manifest themselves, and they are subtle, they plan, they know exactly what they're doing, they know how to deceive people. They've had since the beginning of the garden to learn. Amen? Now, so a very important word this morning. The church, we have faced false teaching. I mean, since the beginning of the New Testament, amen. And we look down through the ages, and here's what's happened. This false teaching has ripened. It has escalated, if you will. The deception gets greater and greater and greater. Matter of fact, the way has already been paved right now, this very moment, for the strong delusion that God is going to send for those who do not love the Lord and do not love the Bible. It says they will believe the lie. Amen? Not only that, it says in John, 1 John, I think it's 2:18, it says we are in the last hour. Peter tells us, he says, listen, mockers are going to come in the last days saying, oh, where is the promise of his coming? We are living in that time right today. Amen? So this word this morning is so vital and so important to understand what is happening in our world, especially in our own nation. So look at it again. It tells us what's going to happen. The Holy Spirit says that in the latter times, now these are pockets that's going to happen all through history, but then it builds to the final end when there's the great falling away again. It says they're going to depart from the faith. Can you believe that? people are going to walk away from the faith, the essentials of the doctrines of the faith. And the word depart means to abandon. It means to desert. It literally means to apostatize. Now listen, an apostasy is this. A person who is an apostate is one who willingly and deliberately turns his back, his heart, his conscience from the Christian faith. He walks away. She walks away. They're through, if you will. And here's the problem. The leadership at Ephesus, did they know that something was coming? Yes. Why they did not guard the church, why they were not watchful, I don't have a clue. But I know that they failed to do so because Paul the Apostle, when he left Ephesus after 3 years of teaching with them in Acts chapter 20, verse 9, I believe it is, he told them, he got down on his knees, they were praying, and he said, listen, after my departure, he said, savage wolves are going to come in from among you. Savage wolves. Ravenous wolves. They're hungry. In other words, they are false teachers. And they're going to be, he says, coming in. And he says, not sparing the flock from among you. And they will rise up from among you. Inside the church, they're going to rise up speaking perverse things. Meaning here, of course, it would be the doctrines of demons. And he says, here it comes, to draw away disciples after themselves. Very important word. Loved one, listen to me. The attack was not outside the church. It was inside the church. Amen? It came from those who were among them. And here's the thing. They were going to draw away these believers in the congregation then and even today. They were going to draw them away to make disciples after themselves, or literally like themselves. Not after Jesus. So what were these teachers doing? These false teachers, then and today, they were and are now identity stealers. Say that with me. Identity stealers. That's what deceiving spirits do. They want to steal your identity from who you are in Christ Jesus. Does that make sense? And boy, I looked down and I said, oh, Lord. So what are they going to do? They want to draw them away, these disciples, through their lives and teachings. And what do they want to do? You need a new identity. Does that make sense? We're going to give you a new identity. What you have is just not good enough. We're going to make you disciples just like we are. You're going to be just like us. You're going to share our identity, but not the identity of Christ Jesus, our Lord. Question, why would anyone with any sense who's really in the church, and why would they depart from God's truth? I'll tell you why. No different then than today. Number one, they don't know the truth. If you don't know the truth, how can you know if something's a lie? Amen? You know, it's kind of like this. It's like if you buy a new car, how many people really read the owner's manual? You have to come on. And you know what? When there's a problem, they finally, oh, I better go open this up and read it. Well, that's the way Christians a lot today treat the Word of God. That's the way they treat the Bible. Amen? We don't want to do that. No. So they didn't, obviously, they didn't really know the truth. And not only that, number two, a person can experience, I've seen it in my life. I've seen it so many times. A person can hear the good news. They can sit under for a year or more, even longer. And they can come in and they can experience the power of God. And they can even experience the presence of God. But they might not have ever received the person of God, Jesus Christ the Lord. Does that make sense? Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, many will say unto me that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Do many wonders in your name? And Jesus said, you know what? I don't even know who you are. Depart from me, you doers of lawlessness. Jesus didn't beat them up for preaching. He didn't beat them up for the wonders they did. He said, you never did my will. I don't know you. Amen? Whoa. So a person can experience those things. You know, the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 4:3, it says, the time will come, and it's already here, loved one, when they, meaning professing Christians, will not endure, they'll not tolerate sound doctrine or healthy doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they'll heap up for themselves teachers. Here it comes. And they'll turn their ears away from truth. They no longer want the truth, no longer want to listen to the truth, and be turned aside to fables or myths or lies. That's what was happening at Ephesus, and that is what's happening even today. So I want you to look now at the source, if you will, or the cause of their departure. It's what they gave heed to. Look at this. It says that it'll depart from the faith. Why? Giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines, that's plural, doctrines of demons. Giving heed in the Greek is in the present tense continuous, which means they constantly, ongoing, gave heed to these false doctrines. The word gave heed in the Greek literally means they devoted themselves to it. Over and over and over, they attached themselves to it. What is a deceiving spirit? A deceiving spirit is a demon. Did you know that demons have names? That demons can speak? That demons are parasites? They have to have a host to accomplish what they want to do in their fallen life. Does that make sense? So a deceiving spirit is a fallen angel. A deceiving spirit is an unholy spirit. It is a fallen angel. It is a vile being who's under the control of the wicked one. And here's what a deceiving spirit does. He leads astray people. He deceives them. The word deceiving literally means to cause someone to wander away from the truth of God. And that's what a deceiving spirit does. He wants everyone. No, he don't want anybody to know anything about God or Jesus or the world. You follow me. He doesn't want you to pray. He doesn't want you to learn the Bible. He'll do anything to deceive if he can. If he's able, that's exactly what he wants to do. The doctrines of demons, plural, are those doctrines or teachings that come from the father of all lies, which is the devil himself. He's the blinder of minds. Now listen carefully. Today, right this minute, we are living right now in the latter times. And the world that we live in, did you know the world has a doctrine? And it's not the doctrine of God. This world, is it opposed to God? Absolutely, meaning the world that is organized against God. They don't want God. They want nothing to do with God. He's not in their thoughts. He's not in their governments. He's not there at all. So the world has a doctrine. It cries out to you, Christian, every day. And it says this, be conformed. That's the voice of the world. You be conformed, you know, to my image, to my identity. Does that make sense? Identity is a very important word this morning. You be my lifestyle. And hey, I'll accept you. You can do anything you want in my world. You can live any way you want, marry anybody you want. It doesn't matter. Any lifestyle is acceptable, but you have to identify with me. The world has its own doctrine. Now listen, and the world, you know what it wants to do to the believer because it's being ruled by deceiving spirits? The Bible says in 1 John 5:19, it says, and we know that the whole world is, thank you, my mind, lies in the sway of what? I've only quoted that verse about 50,000 times in my life. You know what I mean? Lies in the arms of the wicked one, the world that is the Antichrist world that doesn't want anything to do with God. That's why John said, don't love the world or the things in the world. They're not of the Father. No, listen, the world is passing away, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Amen? So the world, loved one, listen, you know, the world wants to kill you. And here's what I mean by that. They want to kill your identity. That's what the world, they want anything that you have to do with Christ, they want to kill it. See, the world wants you. The doctrine of the world is you think like me, you act like me, you live like me, you look like me, and we're all going to get along. No, that's the doctrine of the world. Listen, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Amen? Ephesians 6:11, it tells us to put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles, the methods, the schemes, the doctrines of the devil, loved one. Listen, how do they even do that, these deceiving spirits? Well, it says that they use people. They take the sum, the false teachers or whatever, and they use them to teach doctrines inspired by the wicked one. And you know what? They're very appealing, loved one. Look what it says in verse 2. It says, speaking lies, pseudo logos. The only place mentioned in the Greek in the New Testament right here. It means to speak falsely. Speaking lies, and look how they do it, in hypocrisy. So listen very carefully. Demons, the doctrine of demons, deceiving spirits, demons do their work through another because they can't do it. They have to have a host. Does that make sense? Okay, so they do it through hypocritical liars, meaning they're actors and so forth. Listen, they want something. Those who speak lies and hypocrisy, they want something from you. They want something from every person. Here's what it is. They want to remove who you really are. They want to always remove your identity, especially if you're a believer, loved one. So the first one is outward, okay? They wear a mask of Christianity. They look like Christians. They look like sheep, but they're not sheep. They might even, you smell like sheep, but really if you get a good aroma, they smell like a wolf. Do you understand? In sheep's clothing. No, they're hypocrites. They're play actors. And here's the problem, because I have met them. They're so kind. They're so loving. They're so gentle. They're so charismatic. They're charismatic hypocrites. They're play actors that play a part. Now listen carefully. Today, even as then, they may be pastors. They may be evangelists. Today, they might be a TV preacher. They might be today, they could even be an online influencer. Are you listening to me? Oh yeah. But here's the problem. They don't work for God. They work for the devil. They labor for the devil. They are hypocritical liars. Whenever you hear from the pulpit anyone who denies the virgin birth, anyone who denies the resurrection of Jesus Christ, whoever denies the substitutionary sacrifice, the atonement of our Lord upon the cross for the sins of the world, or the inerrancy of Scripture, they work for the devil. Do you understand that? You say, well, Bill, you're going to offend people. I don't care. I'm not worried about it. I'm worried about offending God. Yeah. No, listen. We have to understand that. Whenever a denomination gathers together and they vote to marry same-sex couples, the entire denomination that approves that, they labor and work for the devil. Do you understand? That is deceiving spirits. That's not the doctrine of God. That's the doctrine of devils. Amen? And it's so important that they understand that. And here's why. Demons are great at grooming. Okay? Oh, they've groomed mankind. Oh, they've groomed America and the world to accept same-sex marriage and as treated as normal. They've groomed the world that we live in to teach evolution as a fact. They've groomed the world that we live in to say, you know what? Abortion really is a choice. We live in it. Where did that come from? Did that come from God? Is that the doctrine of God? No, it is a doctrine of the wicked one. So we have to understand that. Loved one, listen, the only battle that we face in this life is over the Word of God and whether we can believe it and build our lives upon the faithfulness and the integrity of a God, of the God who cannot lie. Amen. Now, here's the problem. The enemy wants to define every person's reality. And he does so and wants to do so how? Deceiving spirits, doctrines of demons. Now, not only does he want to define your reality, the world that you live in, he wants to redefine your identity in Christ Jesus our Lord. Boy, and that's happening right this minute. You need to ask yourself, those that are listening live right now too, you need to ask yourself, who or what defines your reality? It is either going to be God Almighty or the God of this age who is the devil. And I tell you, the only way you can define who you are in Christ and define the reality that you live in is to go to the living Word of God and apply it to your life. Satan has always been and will continue to be until he's cast into the lake of fire, a counterfeiter. He's good at that. Man, listen, see, just as God speaks truth and then calls those that he has purchased through his son with his own blood to go and speak truth, Satan does the same thing. Do you understand? Satan doesn't speak truth. He speaks lies. Then he enlists those that go speak lies for him. Let me give you the scripture, 2 Corinthians 11:13. For such are pseudo apostles or false apostles, deceitful workers. Deceitful workers. They labor to deceive. He says, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And for no wonder, for Satan himself transforms. That word means to disguise himself or masquerade, if you will. Transforms himself into the angel of light. The only description of who of the devil there. The angel of light. That means this, that he does, by deception, he makes darkness look good. He makes darkness look like light because he's called here an angel of light. He'll disguise himself into anything, I mean anything, to do one thing, to steal your identity, the Christian's identity, to steal who you are in Christ Jesus our Lord, to start tearing what you believe down one by one until you don't know who you are anymore. You don't know if God loves you anymore. But you know he does, but I'm giving you the example. Does that make sense? Oh, listen, he's dangerous, loved one. And his laborers, oh my, they love to labor to deceive. They love to do those things. And they offer the believer then and today a life superior than what is found in the Word of God. But it's all lies. It's all untruth. Now, you have to be asking yourself right now, Bill, why could anyone do this? I mean, it just doesn't make sense. Well, the first one was outward. They are hypocritical liars. But number two is the key. Their conscience, it's inward now, their conscience is dead. Oh, what a word. Look, it says, look at it. Having their own conscience, what? Seared with a hot iron. Conscience. That's the thing inside of us that affirms the yes or affirms the no. This is don't do this or don't do that. Amen? Now listen, it says it's been seared. That means cauterized. It means burned and seared and it's numb. It has no more feeling at all. Matter of fact, they're dead to feeling. They're now past feeling. They have no guilt. They have absolutely no shame. Why? It's been seared with a hot iron, only there in the New Testament. Seared with a hot iron. What does that mean? It literally means to be branded. You ever seen, you know, here we're in Texas, you know, you take the branding iron on the cattle? Okay, what does that say? It says, I own you. Amen? If I go out there and brand that, whatever kind of Angus and put Pastor Bill, you know, or Calvary Chapel. Well, we own it. Amen? All right, let's go eat. No. So see, they belong to the devil, loved one. That's what it is. Now listen, false teachers carry out their hypocritical hypocrisy, their lying, because their conscience has been destroyed. Over and over and finally it's dead. What do they want to do? They want to destroy the unbeliever's conscience, and they want to destroy the believer's conscience. And we, right now, we are living in my lifetime, this is the most horrible deception I have ever seen or witnessed in my lifetime. We are living right now in the latter days. And have you noticed that everyone wants a piece of you? Everyone wants a piece of your thinking. Everyone wants a piece of your mind. Just a little bit of it. Have you noticed that? Listen, I tell you, my heart is so broken today. I look and I see our children, our teenage boys, our teenage girls, they're having this identity crisis. That's why this chapter 4 here that we're studying is so important. They're having an identity, gender crisis. I mean, it's just heartbreaking. And you know what? Where did that come from? Did that come from heaven? Is that a doctrine in the Bible? No, it's a doctrine from hell. Do you understand that? Oh, listen, let me give you some statistics here. Approximately 50% of teens that were born female, this is today, right now, born female but identify as male have attempted suicide at least one time. 30% of teens born male but identify as female have attempted suicide at least once. 28% of teens questioning their gender identity have attempted suicide at least once. That is not just the statistics of the world. That's the church, too. And I say, oh, Lord, man, what is going on? The world, the devil, the flesh, the old man, they want to kill your conscience. They want to destroy your conscience. They want to defile and deaden your conscience. And listen, there's a lot of people, you know, here I am 72 years old, and I just this last week first listened to my first podcast. I went, hey, this is pretty good. I mean, I didn't even know how to find it. And they found it for me. And now people are sending me things. I'm going, woo, I didn't know that. And I'm going, this is very interesting. And so they're online. And I'm going, they're sincere. Between every cuss word. They're sincere. They're loving. They're gentle. We got a problem here. But the problem is that they're influencers. Do you understand me? Oh, listen to me. These online gender influences, they don't work for God. You know who they work for? They work for the devil. You know why? What are they doing? They are affirming and they are enabling. And what are they doing? They are stealing the identity from a teenage boy or a teenage girl. Does that make sense? And that's exactly what the deceiving spirits and the doctrines of demons, that's what is happening right now in our society. And whenever a person keeps on sinning and keeps on doing this, their conscience gets more seared and more seared and more seared till finally they can do anything and it doesn't bother them anymore. Look at verse 3. Here's some of them. Watch this one. This is 21st century right here. Forbidding to marry. That's what these, and now that right there is a demonic doctrine, and it's still with us today. But here's what I want you to see, how subtle and how smooth the devil is, okay? Especially in Ephesus, what he was doing. He didn't attack. Did you notice right here? They're not attacking the deity of Christ. They're not even trying to dethrone Christ. They're not even going there. They're not even getting into that area. They're so subtle, say, no, we're going to leave that alone because, see, the devil, he knows. Do you understand? So what does he do? He says, let's come up with a new marriage way, a new identity in marriage. Does that make sense? And that's exactly what he was doing right here. So the first lie is marriage. And here's what Satan does. Satan always lays his lie along, his false teachers do the same, alongside the truth of the living God. Do you understand? And listen, there's usually some truth, God's truth, in what he might be lying about. For example, according to the Bible, it says forbidding to marry. According to the Bible, Paul said some people are called to be single. Amen? There's nothing wrong with that. But the problem here is that they were doing something different. They were forbidding people to marry. Now listen, that's a new identity, isn't it? It's all about identity. And you know what? We have to beware of any teaching, religious or otherwise, that tampers with God's institution of marriage, the oldest institution in the history of mankind. Amen? Oh, listen, we have to beware of any teaching about marriage that says, you know what, if you're married, okay, here now you can be in this little group that we're in, but you guys have to practice sexual abstinence. Don't do any of that anymore. You know what I mean? How do you say that word? You got it. You know what I mean? You follow me? And that's what they're saying. They're saying you have to do that because here's what's going to happen. It's going to take you to a higher level spiritually, and God will be satisfied with that. Is that a lie? It is. Yes, it's a lie. And you know what that was? That was the early beginnings of Gnosticism, which we've already talked about. They forbid people to even marry. And that same doctrine goes on even today. You know, the Gnostics, remember, let me read what I put down. The Gnostics, it says, they taught that Adam was created without gender. Isn't that interesting? And they taught that that was the ideal state one should aspire to, androgyny, which is neither male or female, right? That's what they were teaching. In other words, you must suppress your true sexual identity or eliminate it. Listen to the Gnostic Gospel of Thomas. It says, and they read this today, the Gnosticism, it hasn't ended. It says, when you make the male and the female into one, so that the male is not male and the female is not female, you shall enter the kingdom. Well, that's a lie. Oh, listen, what a great job the doctrines of demons and deceiving spirits have done with marriage in our day. Did you know that they have created a brand new form of marriage? Amen? Think about it. I mean, marriage has a whole brand new identity today. Marriage today is, number one, is seen as disposable. You don't like the guy, you don't like the girl, okay, I'll see you later. Not only that, it's not only seen as disposable, but the Bible teaches us very clearly that it's treated as optional. I mean, not the Bible, the world. The Bible. I don't know, we just live together. But then in my lifetime, in your lifetime, we've seen a new identity emerge. Now, marriage, God's marriage, the institution of marriage, has been redefined in our lifetime. Well, who did that? It was the doctrine of demons. It was the deceiving spirits. Are you following me? That's how powerful it is today. And why did they forbid marriage, the false teachers? Because God created it. And Satan hates God. And here's what it is. Listen to me now. Satan, he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to destroy everything connected with God, with a godly marriage. That's what he does. He wants to remove all that identity. Listen to me. Satan despises and hates the closest bond that a man and a woman can have on earth. When the miracle of the marriage covenant, when God takes a male and a female and he makes them one flesh. Oh, listen, you know what the devil wants to do? He wants to destroy the family, the joy that's in a family, the love that's in a family. That's what he wants to do. He wants to change the identity of God-given roles of the husband and the wife. And not only that, Satan hates every form of commitment. Oh, he can't stand it. He despises that. And not only that, he wants the woman to be alone. He wants the man to be alone. And that goes against the word of God because it says in Genesis 2:18, and the Lord God said, it's not good for man to be alone. I'll make him a helper comparable to him. Listen to me now, talking about identity in our generation. Satan wants to destroy what a man is. He wants to destroy what a woman is. He wants every teenage girl and the boy. It's rampant right now in the church and outside of the church. Every teenage girl or boy to create their own identity, even if it means erasing their identity from birth. Listen to me. Do you know, I didn't know this. until really yesterday. I had no idea. That shows you how naive I am. I had no idea that a teenage girl could walk into Planned Parenthood, walk right in, and say, you know, I'm having gender dysphoria or whatever it's called, and they can walk in and begin the process without any consultation, without any therapy, and begin the process for a brand new identity. Did you know that girls as young as 15 in Oregon can go into Planned Parenthood without parental consent, and get anything they want? Go get your birth control, whatever they're seeking. Listen, they can walk in right now without parental consent, and I need hormone blockers. I need that testosterone or whatever. You give testosterone to a girl, my God, to a little teenage girl. You know, and you know, it's like Pastor Thomas and I were talking about, and he told me, he said, you know, if you study out the testosterone that they're giving to these young little teenage girls because they want to trans, whatever that's called, into something else, well, you put that into their little bodies, you know what happens? All of a sudden, they feel great. Their anxiety starts leaving, and they're going, I'm on the right track, but it's not going to continue. Does that make sense? It's a lie. All the things that are occurring, did you know that a teenage girl can go into Planned Parenthood right now, talking about deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, right this minute, without parental consent, without any therapy, and sign up for a clinic, some clinic that they'll connect them with, that'll do what they call top surgery or a double mastectomy. Listen to me. We're in trouble. Our kids are in trouble. When I came through yesterday, Saturday, when I was in my office and I came and I told the prayer team, you must be praying for the youth of America. You must be praying for our youth. Did you know that 99% of my counseling today has nothing to do with premarital counseling or marriage counseling? It's adults with their children and what they're going through, even the little ones that are in elementary school. That's what we're faced with. And I look and I say, oh, we have the Word of God. Oh, I'm so thankful for that. Listen, look at our culture. We are in trouble, loved one. The blind is leading the blind. And we are witnessing right this moment a revolution against reality. Look at the second lie. Verse 3. This will lighten it up a little bit. And commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those, number one, who believe and by those who know the truth. Asceticism. So that means, you know, that's the view that, you know, that the body is really a thing to be punished. So today's spring festival, don't go out there and eat anything. Okay? No. Starve yourself. You know, here's the problem with the teaching then and now, because it's still the same. You have to beware of dietary discipline. There's nothing wrong at all with saying, I can't eat that because of my health. Amen? Yeah, I mean, we have to be smart, you know, but and some of us have food allergies, you know. You can't have milk. You can't have chocolate milkshakes. You can't have cheese. You can't have banana pudding. Can't have chocolate pie. I understand. I have that. I can't have any. You know what I'm saying? And then you can even have a new food identity today. You know, there's all these different fad diets, or just the easy one. I'm a vegan. Really? Okay, well, listen, here's what I put down. If you never want to eat steak again, if you never want to eat chicken or fish again, I want you to watch Eating Our Way to Extinction. If I watched that this week for the purpose of this sermon, but I didn't use any of it. When I watched that, I looked at my wife and I said, and when I saw the fish and all the stuff, oh my gosh, it was horrible. And I said, honey, what are we having tonight for dinner? She said, fish. I said, no. No, I said, I can't do that. If you watch that, you'll probably never eat meat again. That's how bad that film, a true film, was. But so here we are, another Gnostic worldview talking about starving yourself and so forth. Loved one, listen, the Bible, does food draw you near to God? No. If you don't eat pork chops, is God going to love you? If you don't have bacon, huh? If you eat fish on Friday, is God going to say, oh, look at him. No, that doesn't make you any more loved or accepted by God. Oh, no, listen, you're in Christ Jesus. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 8:8, but food does not commend us or draw us near to God, for neither if we eat, we're the better, and if we don't eat, we're not the better. Now, when you think about all this, where does that doctrine come from? There it goes. It comes from the demonic realm. You know, William Barclay said this, there was an ever reoccurring heresy in the church in every generation that men arose who tried to be stricter than God. That's a true word. Listen, look at verse 3 again. Forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from foods which God created and to be received, how? With thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. Listen, food is good. God created food, amen? However, when you go to the supermarket today, it might be difficult to find any food that God created. No, I'm serious. Have you walked in there? Listen, I mean, goodness, Velveeta cheese is not from God. No, it's not. Have you ever studied that out? I just look at it and I want to run. Velveeta cheese, Rotel is not from God. Spam is not from God. Hostess Twinkies, I think they're gone off the market now. Their shelf life was 5,000 years. You know, God didn't create any of those things. But it does say this, for every creature of God is good. That's contrary now to the false teaching. Does that make sense? Everything, every creature of God is good, and nothing, meaning nothing that God created, not that General Mills created, is to be, nothing to be refused is to receive with thanksgiving. Why? God provided it. Sanctified, it's set apart. How? Well, by the word of God. In other words, you know that you don't have to worry about what you're eating because God, there's no dietary laws with God anymore. Amen. And it says, and prayer. That means you pray over it. Listen, every time I have food in front of me and I pray, I always say, Lord, I give thanks for this. And then I say, and protect me from it. Okay. You know, and that's the truth. Now, it says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, therefore, whether you eat, drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. It's time to wrap this up. Listen very carefully. I don't know that I've ever prayed over a sermon like this one. Do you know that yesterday as I worked, that my computer, my laptop, I didn't know it, but the battery went dead. And so here I was, and I'm going, why is it dead? And then I labored for maybe an hour and a half, going from plug outlet, trying to plug in. I didn't know what was wrong. Finally, I don't know how I did it, but I got it to charge again, and I still went back to work, and then it did it again. I know that that wasn't from God. Do you understand? And I want to say something to you. Listen now. I don't know how to address on this Memorial Day weekend what we're facing. I know that the church must be in a revolution. We must be seeking first the kingdom of God. My heart breaks when I start seeing and talking to children and teens. They're cutting themselves, or they want to kill themselves, or they don't know why they feel like they need to be they need to transition into something that God didn't make them that way. And my heart breaks for them. It's not going to get better. And I know you said, Bill, you're so depressing. No, I'm not. I'm telling you the truth. It's not going to get better. The things that are happening, they're going to get worse. We must be a people that seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And He promised if we would go to the throne of grace, all things would be added unto us. And that means not just provision, it means wisdom. Amen? So with all that being said, I know this. We are living in the latter times. We're living in a day when the world and the devil are using people to deceive people. They want to steal your identity because you are made in the image of God. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen. You know, the Bible says this. I'm reading from another translation, not the New King James Version. In 1 John 4:17, it says, our standing in the world, talking about identity, listen now, our standing in the world is identical with Christ. as he is, so are we in this world. Amen. Luke 6, 35 through 36, he says this. He says, live out the God-created identity the way your Father lives toward us. Matthew 5, 48, he says, Jesus says, grow up, your kingdom subjects. Now live like it. Live out your God-created identity. And that's what's being stolen today. Do you see it? Let me give you another one. Jesus said in Matthew 24, 5, he said this, watch out for these doomsday deceivers. Many leaders are going to show up with forged identities, claiming I am the Christ, the Messiah. They will deceive a lot of people with every head bowed and every eye closed and no one looking around and every person praying. Listen to me now. I say this. I know that we're normally full on this service. But because of the Spring Festival, I know that the next service will be packed. But here, I have to do this. Every eye closed. You know, maybe you're here right now, and you are under such anxiety. Maybe you are cutting yourself. Maybe you're thinking about suicide. Maybe you've lost your identity and you know, you're just being pushed. You think, maybe I need to transition. I don't know. But I know this. If that's you, no one looking around, this is only between you, me, and God. I don't want you to get out of your chair. I don't want you to come down here. I just want you to show your hand and say, Bill, one of those things is affecting my life right now, and I want you to pray for me. Can you say, anyone here this morning? And I pray there's not, but if I just have to say that, if that's you, God bless you, that's right. Someone else say, Bill, one of those things, that's me. That's what I'm going through right now. And I need freedom. Anyone, quickly, I'm going to pray. Anyone else? God bless you, that's right. Anyone else say, Bill, that's me. I fit right into that category. Before I pray quickly, I'm going to pray now. Anyone else? Father, you saw the hands. You created them. And their identity is, well, Lord, it's trying to be stolen from them. The anxiety, the depression, maybe suicidal thoughts, cutting themselves, whatever it might be. Lord, you saw their hand and it took great faith and courage to lift that hand. So those who did, Lord God, that was a sign of faith. And right now in Jesus' name, you can do anything. Nothing is too hard for you. I pray even this moment that freedom engulfs their heart, mind, soul, and spirit and being from the top of their head to the sole of their feet. And Lord, let your assurance rip through their thinking and rip through their body and bless them and make them whole. In the greatest name we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. And the church says, amen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning, shall we? Aren't you glad you came to church today? Amen. Would you be praying for me for the next service? And that way this burden will be gone, then I'm going to get my lawn chair and go out there with you guys. I pray you have a safe day. I pray that you remember our men and women, the sacrifices that they've made. I pray that you seek first the kingdom of God. I'm telling you, it is time. It is time. I love the Lord. I love the Lord. I celebrate the Lord. There's no one like him. In Jesus' name. I love you guys. We're going to sing. If you're visiting for the very first time, I'm sorry I got lost. I'm going to go over there. There's a free gift for you. I'd love to meet you if you need prayer. Jesse's going to close us out, and there'll be people down here to pray with you. God bless you guys. I love you.